Berkey, our next guest who's going to join us in a couple of moments here, you've talked a lot about Mark Giordano, and I believe a couple of times you've said it's an easy game when you're paired with Mark Giordano. Before we bring him on the program, give us your thoughts on the Flames captain.
Well, the thing that's amazing about Gio is he's accomplished so much. He wasn't drafted. He accomplished so much, and he's not great at anything. Like, he's only about 200 pounds. Like, he's not small, but he's not big. He's not a great skater, but he works so hard. He compensates for that. But his hockey IQ is so high, and he will always do the right thing. If you make a mistake as his partner, he will always be back. He'll cover for you. He can. If there's no play to make, he's a great first passer, but if there's no play, he'll lug the puck out of trouble. But he accomplishes way more than his skill set says he should accomplish because of his work ethic and his hockey IQ. He's an amazing guy and a great captain. It was really a pleasure and an honor to have him in Calgary.
Let's bring him aboard. He's Calgary Flames captain Mark Giordano, who joins us on Hockey Central. You just heard your someone who ran the Calgary Flames for a number of years just extolling a lot of your virtues there, Mark, and thanks for joining the program. When you hear Berkey talk about you like that, what goes through your mind? And are you blushing?
Yeah, maybe a little bit. I'd like to think I have a little bit more skill than Berkey thinks, maybe. But I obviously have a lot of respect for Berkey. I really enjoyed playing under him there in Calgary. I think, you know, the one thing about that a lot of players, if you come across them and talking about Berkey, the one thing that we all agree on is there's no gray area. There's no BS. He tells you how it is, you know, good or bad. And I think as a player, that's what you appreciate most is when people don't blow smoke. And I think he's one of the best, if not the best, in the business at that.
We'll turn the recreation over to Berkey then. Go ahead, Brian.
Gio, I know that we talk about young players here and how some of them just play hockey. You were quite a baseball player in your youth. What other sports did you play growing up?
Yeah, I was really into baseball. I loved it. And another one that I really enjoyed and I thought really helped me with my conditioning and with hockey was ball hockey in the summer in Toronto. It's a huge thing. A lot of our buddies growing up enjoyed playing, so we put a team together and played in leagues every summer. I did that almost until I was 30, actually. So I was playing pro, and I was still playing ball hockey in the summers in Toronto, and it was a lot of fun. But no, baseball was definitely a big one. But I was involved in like all the school sports. I really liked sports like basketball, volleyball, all the way up. So I tried to stay in as long as I could. And then, you know, I try to teach my son the same thing: become an athlete before, you know, becoming just hockey specific.
That's some really good advice there. And, you know, in the era now where kids specialize, like I've got a 210 and a 212, and there are already some kids that are starting to specialize in hockey. And I keep saying what to my kids, the same thing that you're talking about right now, Mark. And that is, I remember Matt Nichol talked to me about this years ago. I said, just what you did, build the athlete first. Whatever sport they're going to end up in, they're going to end up in. Just make sure that they're athletically inclined when they get there.
Absolutely. And I think, as a parent, honestly, the hardest thing is you know, you're watching kids who are like Jack's 7 now, and you're watching kids who are flying around the ice because they're doing it. They're in all the hockey schools and in all the summer programs. And you know, as a parent, you got to really take a step back, because at one side of it is you don't want to see your kid fall back and not be able to keep up, but the other side of it is you also don't want them to burn out. And I think, my experiences from when I played, you've seen a lot of stories where kids were the best player up until they were about 12 or 13, and then sort of everyone catches up, and that could be really hard mentally too for the kids. So I don't know. I just think I was never the best player on my teams growing up, and I think, you know, a little bit of that adversity might have helped me along the way. And then when you do catch up, it actually feels better as you get older to sort of catch up to everyone and get there. So that's sort of my philosophy. It might be wrong. I know there's a lot of guys, obviously, who've done it the other way who are great players, but it's just, you know, you never know which way it's going to go. And I'd rather, you know, give my kid the opportunity to choose what he wants and which sport he wants to to play.
Stewie, even though we're not in the same studio right now, I can, if I squint really hard and look down the street to where you live, I can, I think I can see you nodding as I hear Mark talking here.
Yeah, I'm telling Vic to cut the clip on this one to put on the Instagram account. But Gio, how's it going, buddy? It's Stewie here.
Stewie, how are you, man? Good to see you. Good to talk to you.
Yeah, we always, on this program, we always talk about the old money tournaments that we used to play in and in Brampton. How it got a little heated.
Oh, yeah. A lot of chirping going back and forth and a lot of almost fights.
Yeah. So my question is, obviously, you know, you didn't get drafted to the National Hockey League, but what clicked, you know, for you between each, you know, 7 and 17 and 21 before you made the National Hockey League? Was it your training? Was it your fitness? Was it a growth spurt? What helped you benefit to get to the National Hockey League, not being an NHL draft pick?
Yeah, I think definitely, you know, when I went to Owen Sound, I was 17, turning 18, I think. And then I got a chance after my first year. I think I was really, you know, really good offensively. And my last year of Tier 2, where I played in Brampton on the Capitals, and then I went to Owen Sound and still had a pretty good offensive year, but I didn't defend the right way. And my conditioning was, you know, I was big and strong, but I had no idea what it took to get into shape cardio-wise, and my conditioning was way off. And what happened was I went to Owen Sound where Mike Fuda and Mike Stuthers was the head coach and Fuchs was the GM. And, you know, I got to give them a lot of credit for my career. They taught me what it was to be a pro and how to act like a pro on and off the ice. And then, you know, Mike Stuthers doesn't get enough credit for how good of a coach he is, but the details with stick and body positioning that he taught me, because he was a defenseman when he played, were unbelievable. And I learned a ton from him. And then I got a chance to go to Phoenix's rookie development camp one summer after my 18-year-old year. And I went there and I got cut right away because, I think the lockout was coming up and I wasn't one of their drafted players. But I think more importantly, like, I wasn't in good enough shape. And, you know, doing all the testing, I sort of struggled a little bit through it, struggled on the ice. And I was like, whoa, like, this is an eye opener. I need to change the way I work out. And I really focused more on cardio and went from there. And I think that really helped me. And then coming to Calgary with, you know, our strength and conditioning coach back then, Rich Hesketh, and really, he really helped me too. So I think it was more the conditioning and off ice stuff. And then I finally learned how to actually defend properly and not take those high risks that I might have been taking before.
Calgary Flames captain Mark Giordano with us on Hockey Central. Berkey, go ahead.
Tell us about your season in Russia, Gio. In 2007, 2008, you went to Russia for a year. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so he made the decision to go over there. I was a borderline call-up guy at the time with Calgary, and I was 23, turning 24, I believe, and I'm like, man, I got to almost, you know, I got to take care of myself. I got a life to live here, and I got to figure this out, which way it's going to go. So I went over there prepared to stay there. And if I had to make a career in Europe, I was going to do it. But yeah, had an offer from Moscow Dynamo, took it, went over there not knowing what to expect. And, you know, the lifestyle was tough. I think the language barrier, people don't realize how tough that is. And you gain a lot of respect for guys who've done it the other way and come to North America from Europe. But no, the hockey side of it, I thought the game was if you can believe it, everyone thinks that it's way more skilled and way more wide open, but the guys are really skilled over there. But the game's actually a lot like how the Olympics was in Sochi. It's, you got to pack it in. Everyone sort of traps and plays in between the dots. So it's actually less scoring over there. And, but in saying that, I got a lot of ice time, a lot of playing time, a lot of good experience. The team treated me really well, and had a good year. I think I developed a lot over there, so I was it was pretty cool. But the lifestyle was tough. I'm not gonna lie. I saw some things that a couple times. I saw, well, one time downtown, I saw a guy walking a bear on a leash. a lot of wild dogs in the countryside running around, and it was a different atmosphere in some situations, but overall, I had a really, you know, as far as experiences in Russia, I think I would have had one of the better ones from guys going over there.
Stewie,
did you
want
try
to tell
the
Mark,
did you try the Russian gas?
The Russian gas is a national secret over there, and nobody knows what's in it, so we'll leave it at that.
You want to tell Mark how Costco almonds saved you in the KHL, Stewie?
Yeah, I was telling the story because in Russia, if lunch is at 12 o'clock and you get there at 12, there's no food left and they don't bring out any seconds because guys just pack their plates. So I actually bought over like, you know, I think it was like 6 pounds of chocolate almonds to help keep me eating when the Russians ate all the food.
Yeah. I mean, we had our practice facility and they'd feed us 3 meals a day over there. So. But like you're saying, there's the veterans who go first and they take all the good stuff and then they leave the scraps for everyone else. But, it was funny. I mean, there's some, you know, they do things differently, like drinking. I never realized drinking tea in between periods was a thing, hot tea to stay warm and stay energized. My sticks, I don't know if you could get your sticks over there, Stewie. My sticks would get stuck at the border every time and go missing. So I was using like a different curve and different stick every for the whole year. I was basically using not my stick. Little things like that. And definitely was an experience, that's for sure.
Being joined by Mark Giordano, Calgary Flames defenseman. And when we talk about you, Mark, we talk a lot, and Brian talks a lot about, you know, leadership and what you mean to that team and how you make it easy for your defense partner. And I always think about you. I think about overcoming adversity and overcoming things that a lot of players would look at and say, well, that's my signal to quit hockey. Stewie mentioned earlier on, never drafted in the NHL. You weren't even drafted into the OHL. You mentioned you went to Owen Sound as a 17, 18-year-old after playing Brampton Capitals. I mean, this game has given you, I mean, just mentioned KHL as well. This game has given you a lot of reasons to quit, and you've never said, okay, I'm going to pack it in. Have you always been like that?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I'm just like a huge fan of the game, and I remember, you know, obviously growing up, Saturday night, hockey night in Canada was the number one thing you looked forward to as a kid. And I remember watching it with my dad, waiting for, you know, grapes to go on. And it's just, I don't know, it's just something that I've never had that moment where I was like, man, I'm gonna shut it down. I wasn't drafted to the OHL, but I was looking forward to still playing at York University if I had to. And I had a good talk with the hockey coach there and was all set up before I signed with Calgary. So I never had that moment where I really wanted to get away from it. I had to go down to Double A when I was younger too. And I, you know, you'd think that maybe at that point you'd be like, okay, it's getting old, getting cut and stuff like this. But no, I really enjoyed the game for my entire life. I still do. I mean, I still really, really enjoy watching a good hockey game. And playing in Calgary, it's great because we're the late game and we get to get in the room. You're taping your stick. You're watching, you know, the early games on hockey night, and it's pretty cool still. So I developed a lot later, I think, than a lot of guys, but always sort of have had that passion to play. I really, really enjoy the game.
That's great. Berkey?
Tell us about your charity work. Gio, you and Lauren do so much in the Calgary area, and it's one amazing facet of your career that you've taken it to a whole new level in my mind. Tell us about the work you and Lauren do.
Yeah, so, you know, Lauren and I, especially when we had Jack, we wanted to get involved with the community and get involved with the school board here. And I think, you know, a lot of it is obviously to help out such a great community that's basically we've lived here for a lot of our adult life and made us who we are. So we got involved with the Calgary Board of Education. We reached out to them, and basically they identified, you know, 4 schools to us that they felt were in need of some help. And What's what we like most about the program is we just didn't say, okay, here, we're going to come and give you some sport equipment or give you some hockey sticks or some, you know, it wasn't just one thing. We went to each school. We sat down, we talked with the principals and the superintendent, and we sort of addressed what their biggest needs were. So some schools needed a library, needed books, needed some tablets for the kids, for the classrooms. Another school needed a brand new sport court outside with all new equipment. You know, and one school built a fitness center. So they were all different needs. The kids have really bought into the program and used, you know, there's little reading rooms, zen rooms, all these things that we've created. And I think it's specific to each school. So it's been a pretty cool experience. My wife Lauren and I have learned a lot, and we get as much out of it as the kids do when we go and visit. And I just think it's important to, you know, to give back to these communities that have done so much for us as players. And, you know, I think a lot of trying to set an example for the young guys, and I think a lot of our young guys have followed suit, and it's pretty cool. And with what we're going through right now, I think it's even more important for us to step up too.
Those Zen rooms are great too, by the way, you mentioned that. I wish I had that when I was a kid. My kids have that at their school. And you mentioned what's going on right now, and everybody has a new normal. Everyone has a new rhythm. Everybody has a new pattern in their life right now. What's yours, Mark?
Yeah, no, I think for me, it's trying to stay in a routine. I think we're all, you know, being in the game, we're all so used to having that set routine, and that routine made up for us. So when you're at home and you can't leave your house, you got to sort of be pretty disciplined. So I try to get up every day, try to get a workout in as early as I can, because if you wait around and sit on the couch long enough, you're never going to do it. So I try to get a workout in early. Then Jack has his online school most days, so try to help him out a little bit with that. My daughter Reese is just buzzing around the whole day, nonstop, doesn't stop for 1 second, so she keeps us pretty busy. But yeah, we've done little things though, like we've gone on a couple of those. There's some Facebook groups that have started up, and my wife's really involved with trying to help out in the community. But we've done some of those birthday train parties just to get out and get a drive with the kids. And you know, Jack's birthday was April 4th, and all his buddies did the train for him, and we were like, huh, we should jump in on that. And they have a Facebook group here in Calgary that sets them up for all the kids. So we've been on a couple of those. We're going on another one Saturday, I believe. And those are pretty fun. But yeah, it's just really trying to find things to do and keep yourself occupied. And the kids are very helpful with that. I mean, I built a trampoline yesterday for a couple hours, so that took up most of my day. And,
for you, yeah, or the kids?
For the kids. I took a couple jumps, but no, it's just, it's tough. These are tough times for everyone, but, you know, just trying to stay busy.
You know, we'll end on this. I'm curious about the 1,000 game mark, and we opened the program by talking about Andrei Markov, who called it a career. What a wonderful career it was for Markov. And He finishes up after playing 990 games, so 10 games short of the 1,000 mark. You're 107 games away from hitting that milestone. How much would that mean to you? The deeper I get into this industry, the more I know that longevity means a lot for hockey players. What does the number 1,000 mean for Mark Giordano?
Yeah, no, honestly, I think it would mean a lot to me. I think I would lie if I was telling you I haven't thought about it recently in the last year or two. I watched my good buddy Stage get there before he retired, and it was a pretty cool moment to be able to see him get to 1,000 games. Guy who I grew up with, playing with basically our entire lives together. So that was pretty cool. And yeah, I've thought about it, but for me, honestly, at this point, it's, you know, I haven't played in playoffs enough, and we need to. You know, for me, it'd be, rather than getting the 1,000, I'll take the bunch of playoff games. So hopefully we can get this season going, get some sort of format where we can play in the playoffs. again and then go from there. But yeah, I'd be lying. It would be a pretty special moment if I did hit 1,000.
Winning Norris trophies and building trampolines. Mark Giordano, thanks so much for stopping by today. Hope to talk about your deeds on the ice sooner than later. Thanks for spending time today with us.
All right, guys. Thank you.